Reaching the Army's net zero water goals is a little easier for Aberdeen Proving Ground. It found a way to recycle water from a previously contaminated stream on base and reuse it to heat some of its buildings. APG says it'll save about $400,000 a year in water costs and $64 million by the end of the 23-year contract. John Roble is the acting chief, and Devin Rust is the installation energy manager for the Directorate of Public Works at Aberdeen Proving Ground. They tell Federal News Radio's Francis Rose how that project is saving them energy and money.
We're trying to limit the potable water consumption and return the water that we do use back into the same watershed that we take it from, whether it be a surface water body or a groundwater source. And we want to also improve its quality in some way if we can before we discharge it back into the watershed, whether it be a groundwater or a surface water source. So basically we're trying to, you know, reduce the Army's signature and amount of potable water we use by different methods and mechanisms that, you know, we'll talk about later maybe. And doing that, we also reduce the amount of energy the Army uses in producing that potable water as well, because we use less of it.
And net zero water use is just one part, John, of the overall net zero effort the Army's making, right?
That's correct. Like I said, it comes down to both water, energy, and waste. And like I say, this net zero part that me and Devin have been working on, you know, really work together closely, because if you reduce the amount of potable water you use, you're also reducing the amount of energy it takes to produce that potable water. So there's a real good synergy between those two.
It struck me as I read about this that it's kind of a good news, bad news story, because originally there was bad news with an aquifer in the area around the installation that was not able to be used. This turned out to be the good news story that's going to allow you to move this project forward. Tell me more about the conditions that you're doing this project under in that way.
Well, that's a good point that you make, Francis, is that back in the early 1980s, this water source, this groundwater source that we're repurposing, was part of the drinking water supply that we had. And based on Army practices that date back from, you know, 1917, when Aberdeen Proving Ground began, through the 1940s, that aquifer got contaminated with different organic chemicals. And during that time period, you know, I began studies from the 80s through the 90s to come up with ways to treat that groundwater to a point that, you know, we can start to restore that aquifer. And then with Devin's help, we developed a project where we're not only treating that water, but we're also, instead of discharging it into a stream, we're actually going to repurpose it and using it for creating energy through the boiler plant that we have here. So like I said, the vision that we had was to see, can we repurpose this water? Can we restore this aquifer to a good use? And through a combination of a lot of great events, a lot of great work, we've gotten to this place.
Devin?
John's point about the aquifer and, you know, a bad news story. We've been hearing in the news a lot of bad news stories about drought conditions in the West and the Southwest. And the Aberdeen Proving Ground isn't necessarily in this constant state of drought, but a lot of military installations are. And so some of the pilot installations in these net zero water initiatives and reductions are perhaps leading the way for other installations to have less impact in the drought-prone regions where they are located.
Devin, tell me about this project. It's a contract with Johnson Controls, and I'm interested what they get out of it and what they're putting into it and what Aberdeen Proving Grounds gets out of it and what you're putting into it. How does the equation work for both sides?
The idea behind an Energy Savings Performance Contract, or an ESPC, is that Johnson Controls fronts money, essentially, on behalf of the Army, and institutes energy and water-saving projects that will save the Army money. And then the utility savings of executing the projects pay back the loan for the contract.
So you get a minimal or zero financial impact up front. You get the energy savings, and then they benefit by providing the service to you, and they get part of the savings that you get back from not spending it because you're conserving. That's their reward for fronting the money. And they do this over a period, it says here, of 23 years. Is that correct?
Correct. This contract has a length of and a performance period of 23 years. So it is not appropriated funding that the Army is spending. It's an alternatively financed contract. And Johnson Controls is on the hook for getting the money up front based on the engineering calculations of the savings.
So it is a win-win for everybody because it meets the needs, it seems to me, of everybody in the equation is what it sounds like, Devin.
Absolutely.
What are the steps that you have to go through to be able to leverage one of these? And what's the business case that you have to put together to go and say, we want to get engaged in something like this?
Well, it's a very lengthy process to develop and identify and actually award an ESPC contract. You can save any kind of utility, you can save any amount of water, but the savings have to be more than what you spend on the loan over the life of the project. But the first thing you have to do is identify problems that you have where you think a new piece of equipment or a retrofit of a building can save you energy and money. Then you have to compete, usually through the Corps of Engineers. There are 15 ESCOs, energy savings companies, that are authorized to bid on this kind of contract. And there's a very, very lengthy approval process where you have workshops, you develop, you estimate your savings, a long chain of approvals before anything gets awarded. The process can take, you know, a year to 18 months.
A year to 18 months turnaround, though, I have to say, the perception I imagine outside the Army is that it would probably take a lot longer than that. So it sounds like you've compressed the timeline pretty substantially.
Well, we're getting better and better at it the more that we do.
The final goal here, of course, is saving the Army and all of the branches that are going to try these money. Are there enough of these in place now that you can go and look at how other people have executed them? Or are you still kind of in the groundbreaking phase here where you're having to figure out some of this as you go along?
Aberdeen Proving Ground has actually executed a number of these kinds of contracts, and we're getting better at them. They take a lot of work, but we were one of the earliest in the Army to adopt this alternative finance mechanism. And we've actually had other installations call to ask advice and sit in on ESPC workshops so that they can learn from what Aberdeen's done.
John, what are some of the mileposts that you expect to hit here? What are some of the places you expect to be a certain period of time from now and then a certain period of time after that until you hit your final destination?
I think progress is going pretty well. We had the groundbreaking about 3 weeks ago, and you know, they poured the concrete pad out there to support some of the water tanks and things. And I think they're going to make pretty good progress. And I think, Devin, they're going to be ready to start repurposing the water sometime in the early winter of 2015.
Right. I've heard February, probably weather dependent.
That's really when you hit the ultimate goal. That's when you go fully operational with this?
That is when the Canal Creek Treatment Plant project will be complete, and then ultimately all the water that the treatment plant processes will go into the nearby boiler plant to be used to generate steam.
The goal of the net zero program overall is to reduce, it says here, Army's water consumption by 26% in 2015 and 52% by 2020. How much does this help? And you mentioned some of the other net zero projects that you have implemented already at Aberdeen. What else is on your plate as you move forward?
What we're trying to do is that we've got two golf courses on the Proving Ground. And the first one has already been converted not to use potable water for irrigation. And we've got a project underway right now to get the second golf course that we have here also off of potable water and use natural irrigation to take care of the greens. So that's one thing we're working towards. And me and Devin are also working on a project to use groundwater for cooling towers and to use that for cooling towers, some of the air conditioning, some of the buildings here. So we're moving along with those as well to try to hit that the goal that the Army has set for us at 26%.
I'll put this out for either one of you. What are you learning as you go along, and what are the things as you do each of these projects where you might say, I wish we had known that, but when we did the previous one or the two before that, what are the new things, that challenges that present themselves or things that you learn about how to execute these projects better?
My personal experience has been that the most difficult part is that these energy savings performance contracts have a very long-term life and a long-term warranty component, and the missions and goals of the Army can change very rapidly. And so keeping up with the changing use of buildings and changing missions of the tenant organizations is probably the most complicated factor, because you know, once you've set out a project idea and engineered your savings and maybe gone through with construction and finalization, and then the tenant wants to come in and change mission and do something different with the building than what you had assumed when you created the project. That's been the toughest from an energy and a maintenance standpoint.
I think that you know, what I have learned in this process, and I think, is that you develop a vision, and part of that vision then develops into a goal. And I think that's the biggest thing that I have taken back, is back in the 80s when we started out working with this contaminated aquifer, it's like, well, what's the vision? Where do we see us going? And so first, let's try to restore it, and then let's try to use the water that we've now spent money to clean up, you know, to some kind of beneficial use. So I think having a vision is the biggest thing, and I think I really appreciate the Army as a whole coming up with like this big goal vision of net zero Army, water, and waste, and it allows us to move in a direction. So if you don't have vision, you don't know where you're going sometimes.